Hi, this is Danny Tamborelli.
And this is Lori Beth Denberg, and you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans!
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Mike Berlew and audience and everybody else out there, welcome to Verbal Shenanigans, bro.
Scott, if they're not part of our audience, who would be everybody else that you're talking to?
I don't know. You don't know, Mike. You only see my face on the old Skype machine here. You don't know what's behind me or in front of me. Maybe in front of the computer where you're not seeing is like a whole studio audience.
I mean, I clearly don't. I forgot that you actually bought a machine just for Skyping. I mean, I know you're the only guy in the world. Like, most of us, we just use our everyday computers. But, like, Scott's like, no, this new house, I need a 10-foot machine that can only accept Skype calls.
You don't have
That's it.
You don't have a Google machine either? I got a Google machine.
You do? Aw. The wife said they don't exist anymore. She lied to me last Christmas.
Well, everybody, I am Scott, and that is Mike. If you are just tuning in, welcome to your weekly edition of Verbal Shenanigans Podcast. If you're just tuning in, we are a weekly podcast that we like to put out episodes that always feature interesting guests. It's been a couple years since we didn't have a guest, which is great because me and Mike cannot bear the thought of having to speak to each other, just us, for over an hour. So,
Yes, you always look angrily at me from your Skype machine.
So we are a weekly podcast, and we basically bring on interesting guests. We talk about life a little bit and play some games, and that's kind of what we do, Mike. That's what we do. Mm.
So. Yeah, that sounds like the plan. Let's move it forward with this week. Hey, on a side note, how's your ankle there going, buddy? It's been a while since we got a foot up there.
Ankle update. 2019. Ankle.
So the ankle's still not great. Not great at all. It's swelling at night. I'm looking down on it now, and it's pretty fat and gross. And those of you just tuning in, I tore my ankle up a couple months ago, when it's not healing the way I would like to, and it's starting to get to the point where now I'm like getting angry at being injured. Like, I'm tired of it. Like, I can't get back to my normal routine. When I think I'm getting better, the next day sucks. So I don't know what's going to happen here. I'm going to make another follow-up appointment for like 2 or 3 weeks from now, give it a couple more weeks, and hopefully the old host here doesn't have to go down on surgery, because then I'm going to be really miserable on this podcast weekly.
Now, Scott, have you thought about doing the Ronnie Lott?
Which is what?
Well, Ronnie Lott, early in his career, tore a ligament in one of his fingers. Right. And the doctor basically said, okay, we can operate on it and it will be 2 weeks, and Ronnie Lott said, well, how long will I miss if you cut it off?
Yep.
He's like, well, none, but we don't need to do it. He's like, cut it off. And that's what he did, and he played that following Sunday.
Well, the problem is taking off an entire foot. I'm not sure I'd be able to really get it going immediately after that.
I mean, if you look at some of these movies and TV shows like Walking Dead, it doesn't seem like it's that hard to cut off a body part and just move on with life. It just seems fairly simple, and I feel you're getting lazy not trying it, Scott.
Are you still in on The Walking Dead? Are you still holding on?
I watch it. I don't go out of my way to make sure I watch it when it comes on right then and there.
Yeah.
basically, there's still stuff about him like, okay, this is kind of interesting. They play around with genres and stuff like that. But they're actually coming out with a third show next year where I'm literally going,
great.
How on earth did somebody say this is going to make more money? I don't. Who's like, oh, no, it's going to be a different group. I'm like, yeah, what the hell are you going to tell a story about?
It's just, I mean, I think I'm two seasons removed now. I didn't even watch when Rick died or whatever was lifted out.
We're getting movies for that, Scott.
Yes.
He didn't die. Don't spoil it for the people. Don't
I know. He got airlifted with a helicopter or something or whatever. I was out before then. The show just completely lost me, which is sad because of how strong that show started. Like, it's like either it needed to end or it just completely lost the script. Now I always see like little headlines like everybody's just like quitting that show and kind of wants off of it. So, I mean, you got to end it eventually, right? Like, when is there any end in sight?
Well, technically, I mean, they're still doing the comic books. The comic book itself, the storylines are different from there, but they still use stuff for the regular show. Like, like this year's villains are the Whisperers, like they have in the comics.
Really hard to hear those episodes.
Yeah. I mean, you really got to bump the TV up to about 60, and you really don't want to change the channel, and you really want to mute it before that first commercial comes on.
It's that new realistic television where it's sensory, you know, like.
Yeah. And there's no electricity since it's, you know, the apocalypse. So, I mean, they're just walking around in the dark whispering.
Worst villains
very
ever.
Very awkward show. I mean, I'm only giving them five more episodes, but then I'm pulling the plug.
Worst villains ever. Hi, how are you?
What? are you trying to find me? I don't understand. Hey, say hi to my 27-person crew that I all care about.
That's kind
of... But don't kill number 26. That's going to really break the hearts of the fans.
That's kind of how their Whisperer strategy. They just whisper, so you say what really loud, and the zombies hear you. And that's their defense mechanism.
Or you, like, get up really close. I really can't hear you. And then when you get your ear up to them, they just stab you.
Right, exactly. That's very effective.
That's a good strategy. I'm going to try that if the whole apocalypse happens.
Who's still alive? Is Negan still alive? Is he still on the show?
Negan's alive.
Michonne?
Michonne is alive, but she's leaving this year because she got a huge acting career, so that's not a shock.
Yep.
Maggie is coming back after she didn't leave. She just didn't do more episodes. They're like, oh, like seriously, they're like, Maggie's on a mission. Where'd she go? We can't tell you.
And that sounds like Walking Dead writing. Like, oh,
yeah, I think she was on like two episodes that season, but she did a show, Whiskey Cavalier, and it bombed. So then magically they negotiate and she's coming back.
It'd be funny if she's just still pregnant somehow.
The 3-year pregnancy. Yeah. Well, the funny thing is she gave birth to it. I mean, they didn't show it, but like they showed the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like with a regular person. It's not like, oh, this is the person who replaced Glenn. It's just like, no, we're taking care of Maggie's baby while she's on the mission. It's like, what kind of mother is this?
I can't wait till she comes back with Rick. We're back.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. The priest is still there. I forget his name.
The
annoying one.
I never liked him. Gabriel, right?
Eugene, yeah. He's still there.
Ugh. His stick ran old with me, too, after a while. I couldn't stand him after a while.
Rick's daughter is the only one, quote unquote, alive. I mean, Rick's still alive, but they think he's dead.
Yeah.
Morgan is on Fear the Walking Dead, and that got bad. He came over and it got good, and then they played the same game where it's like, you know, the show ends, you're like, uh-oh, what's going to happen to this person? And then the next week, I got out of it.
I'm sorry. Once Rick's gone, it's really, especially when it was bad with Rick on it for a couple years in a row. Like, it wasn't like it was killing it with Rick. Like, the writing was getting bad with him. And then you take him out, and it's really hard sell to keep that thing going.
Well, the dumbest thing about it was, you know, the ratings start plummeting.
Yep.
And they start saying, okay, we got to kill somebody major, you know, get people to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So they decide to kill Rick's kid, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid, he was doubling down on the show. He bought a mansion down here in Georgia, and he was going to go to school down here. He was preparing his whole life to be a part of the show. Then they decide to, like, okay, he's bit, he's going to die. And I guess at no point they didn't ask, hey, Rick, you're going to stay around, right? Because after they killed him off, then it's like, yeah, I can't keep flying here from England, so I'm going to leave. And, yeah. And that's the stupidity of the show right now.
Yeah, well, yeah, that show, I mean, it's just amazing how bad that fell. It's not even like it like kept me. It like got to a point where I would keep trying to watch the new episode, like, and fall asleep and fall asleep and fall. And then after a while, I just got so far behind. I was like, well, I'm out. no longer going to partake in this snooze fest. But, Berlo.
It's not hard to keep up on shows anymore because there's so many channels and Netflix and Hulu and stuff like that. I mean, I'm 4 episodes down on This Is Us, and honestly, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to catch up.
Oh, I gave up on that one, too. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But you know what? I think today we're going to get to guests a little earlier in the show because we got two fantastic guests coming on the show. I'm very excited about this one. I've been excited about kind of all week, and it kind of came together organically and just quickly. So very excited. We got two guests coming out at one time. We haven't had that in a while. I'm trying to remember the last time we had two at once. I'm not sure. Maybe it might have been back with John and Callahan Walsh. I'm not even sure. But
we had a band where we had two people on recently.
Yeah, we probably had someone on. But this is a pretty cool interview. I like to think of when, you know, we were growing up was the dawning or the golden era of Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
You know, you had all the original cartoons, original programming, original shows, whether it's Double Dare, Snick and Knight, all these different things. And one of those shows was Pete and Pete. I remember it just being a very unique kind of comedy slash, I don't know, weekly kind of program you can get into. And then followed later was All That. I remember it was like, kind of like a sketch comedy show for kids almost. And we happen to have two of the All That cast. And also, you know, they've been on a couple other shows. But we have Danny Tamborelli and Lori Beth Denberg both coming on the podcast in just a minute here. So that should be pretty sweet if you ask me.
How long do you think we can go without asking them about the show they were both on?
Just like ask them like what their favorite foods are. Yeah.
What do you mow your lawn with? Is it a push mower? Do you have a ride on? Do you hire a kid to do it for you?
Do you think using fertilizer in the fall is beneficial for growing grass in the spring? Because I'm having mixed results.
Lori, I got to be honest with you. You seem like a person who likes to eat zucchini. Do you grow your own zucchini?
If so, please give us tips on what nightshade version you prefer, and also how you can get the most bang for your buck in zucchini growing.
Yeah.
So,
Do you go to Home Depot, Lowe's? Don't tell me you're an Ace person. Ugh. Nobody goes to Ace.
Are there Ace Hardware? Yeah, I guess there is a couple.
And there's still commercials out there. They must be somewhere.
That's true. That's true. I think there is actually one not far from me. But anyway, back to the important thing. So we have both Danny and Lori coming on the show. So it should be pretty cool. They are they're actually doing a kind of a reunion tour, the two of them going around. We're going to learn a little bit about that. So let's get Lori Beth Denberg and Danny Tamborelli on the line. So Lori, Danny, I'm Scott. That's Mike over there. First off, thanks for giving us a few minutes here. It's cool not only just to have one of you on, but to get both of you on at the same time is pretty cool, man. So thank you for joining the show.
Hey, any way to teach the kids about three time zones, you know?
Right? Oh, who's in a third time zone?
Well, there's three between you and me.
Oh. All right, so
well,
I'm
maybe where are you? Where are you guys?
I'm in Jersey. Mike's in Georgia.
Georgia, yeah.
Where are you? Where are you, Danny? Are you in Jersey? Or are you?
I'm in Brooklyn. I live in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay, and Lori, where are you?
I'm currently in Phoenix.
See, Skype is cool.
So what's
man.
That mountain?
No, you know what? Right now it's east. It's western. They don't observe.
That's right.
Daylight savings time in Phoenix.
I kind of like that.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't observe it. So I live in Los Angeles, and half the year I'm in the same time zone as my best friend, and half the year she's in the future.
You could time travel without doing anything. I like it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, guys, welcome to the show. I was put in touch with you guys by our friend Ray, who has hooked us up with all sorts of guests over the years. And I saw an advertisement come through my email about you guys kind of, I guess, getting together and doing something called Nostalgia Personified. So I guess it'd be cool to start right there. What is, and I see you got some New York dates. You'll be around here. So why don't we start there? What is Nostalgia Personified, and what are you guys doing?
Well, so Nostalgia Personified is a show that the older Pete, Mike Marona, he and I decided to do some live shows. We have a podcast that we do.
Right.
And instead of just doing like a regular live podcast, which is more like talking heads and just, you know, just doing the podcast in front of people, we wanted to do something a little more interactive and a little more, you know, just kind of fun for everybody, more fun for the audience, more fun for us to kind of dick around. And we've done like, I don't know, 30 or something shows so far in the last year and a half.
Right.
And I thought it would be great to make it a, you know, open it up. So I've known Lori Beth for, I don't know, how long have we known each other, Lori Beth? Since the Civil War, since 1863.
Nice. You guys look good.
We fought on different sides, but we found common ground.
That's true. The battle over Tennessee was tough.
I met you, I think, before what might have been the last season. I remember I was so excited because the whole family came, meaning the Pete and Pete family came, and we were filming all that. And I was so excited to meet you guys because I love Pete and Pete so much.
We did too, man. So are you guys, what are you doing? Is it more of an interview style, or are you guys doing any sketches, or what can someone expect from it?
So you can expect
nudity.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
All right, I'm in. That was a good interview, guys. I'll see you at the show.
I was going to say ribbing. The general ribbing also means we're showing our ribs, which means we are getting naked.
Yes.
Great.
With Danny, the carpet matches the drapes.
Well,
that's a big reveal from the show. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, we just lost New Jersey. Yeah.
Nope. I ruined the end of Twin Peaks.
Don't worry, Danny. You gotta hold your ginger pride, man. I'm a ginger too.
Now I'm gonna go get some manic panic and spray my pubes. You're not gonna know if they're gonna be blue, green, purple, whatever. They'll be some color.
Maybe place bets at the door,
right,
and see who wins the prize.
And winner gets a lock of your hair.
this is basically what's going to happen for an hour. In between, we'll show some old clips of us, from all that, or figure it out, and we might, you know, talk about what was going on behind the scenes. We might do some, you know, dirty secrets type stuff where, you know, maybe some things that we've never told anybody before, and air out some dirt, some dish,
some deep, all that dirt.
Mm-hmm. And there'll be some improv-y stuff, I would think, that happens. I mean, we're a bunch of, momos, so, you
love
know.
It.
Yeah.
Well, let's dive into all that. I mean, it's very iconic for kids who grew up, we're adults now in the 90s and so forth. With all the sketches, were you guys writing sketches? Was it all just handed to you? Was there any improv? What's the scene like for you guys going into a show?
Lori Beth?
Danny, you ended up writing a little bit, but for me, we'd be given the script, and then we had some great writers. Kevin and Heath are probably my favorite writers. Steve Holland, too. And we'd be given the script, and then throughout rehearsal, if we came up with a line or a gag that good, sometimes you'd be so excited when you saw it in the, you know, rewrites, you're like, my joke made it in.
Yeah.
But most of the scripts were like there for us and written for us. Like, you know, we had a few things in the beginning, but then as the writers got to know us and the producers, they would start writing stuff tailored to us. So, you know, what we did ended up in the characters of the sketches, but the writers really held the reins. But well, then Danny, I think. Yeah.
Well, I thought you were also in the, didn't you get to go into the writer's room during?
Yeah, you know what? I did hang out there a lot.
Yeah. I did get credit. Mark Saul and I are the only cast members that actually got physical writing credit. The last season that we were on, we were in the writer's room and wrote some of the Spice Boys stuff, and Mark and I wrote some just standalone sketches that made it on air, and that was really cool. I mean, I was just 18.
Yeah.
So that was like a pretty cool thing to be able to put on my resume that I quickly threw in the garbage and went to college instead.
What an idiot.
Gosh. You know, I just wanted to be a regular kid like all my other friends because my parents were smart and kept me in public school. I didn't get to go to like professional children's school or get homeschooled and say, hey, you know, I'm going to be an adult at 18. I was like, my friends are going to college. I want to drink beer.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
Smart.
Danny was the original James Franco.
Oh, well, I was going to say I was the original Brett Kavanaugh, but then I thought that probably sounds really bad.
Yeah, that's a weird.
Mine's better.
Yeah. I take it back.
Mine's better.
See,
mine's
you're a good better. Editor. You're a good editor. I appreciate that.
Now that kind of segues into my next question. You guys, so speaking of like age, like Danny, I know you were, since you were like 4 or 5, Lori, I'm not sure when you really started acting, but you guys.
Danny was little bittle baby kitty. He was so cute when he was little. I love you so much. My boyfriend and I just watched the Mighty Ducks because we have awesome Saturday night activities.
Yes.
And I was like, Danny's so little. Then we did watch D2 like a couple days later, which was just an experience. We'll watch D3 when I get back to town.
But you don't need to. I was only in the first one. It really is all that matters.
But
Keenan was in two.
Keenan was in two. And he was so little. So we're going to watch 3-2. I can't be left hanging, Danny. I need to know.
So what happens?
If I'm going to write four.
They win again. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I had that on my DVR.
I'm working on the fourth script. So
I put 50 on Iceland.
If each one of you guys watches Mighty Ducks 100 times this year, I'll get another $10. So help me out.
Wow. All right.
Wow.
So what got...
What was the question?
I was asking something about Mighty Ducks. No. What got you guys into acting?
How old we were.
Yeah. How'd you get into that? Is that like a parent thing? Like, oh, Danny's like... He's really talkative or really like cute, or what was it that they put you into acting? Lori, how did you end up there? So I guess we'll start with Danny.
Okay. Well, I basically was a chatty little kid.
Yeah.
And, I was in some mall somewhere and I struck up conversation with a woman who happened to be a manager. She gave my mom her card and said, your kid could be good on TV. And I was like, you know, I don't know, like 3 or 4.
Jeez.
And I didn't do, I mean, she didn't actually call until I was 6. But like, I guess I remembered that enough to be like, every time the TV was on, I was like, I can do that. Like that lady says, I can do that.
Yeah.
Your mom told me once that like, she didn't want you to do it, but you kept asking and you kept asking. So she said yes.
Well, that sounds like a good non-stage mom response.
Yeah, oh, totally, totally.
No. It was him. I swear. He said he wanted
exactly. In her fur coat.
Right. And then he booked the first thing that he went on, and then mom was like, ha-ha, you get to pick any toy you want from Toys R Us, and I'm taking the money.
Yeah, I'm picturing the guy getting that phone call, like, yeah, sure, like 2 years later, like, yeah, sure, I remember your kid. Like, there's no way they remembered you.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Well, you know, redheads were still pretty unpopular then.
That's true, man. Redheads unite.
So maybe
still are.
I am also of the I am also of the ginger variety, so I feel you, Danny. Oh, nice. I feel you.
All right.
Oh, I didn't know that when I agreed to do this.
Yeah. You can feel it coming through the microphone.
I told you'd leave that to the end of the conversation. Man.
Bye, Lori. Bye, Lori.
Like a phone clicks anymore when you hang up. There's no drama to hanging up on someone now.
True.
Yeah, you gotta get a nap for that.
So I always loved doing plays and stuff. I was in every play at school and community theater and like chorus and whatever I could get my hands on. I just loved it. But I never did anything professionally. And then I was in a drama competition in my senior year of high school, and my scene won first place, and there was a showcase of all the first place scenes in all the different categories, and producers from all that were scouting for kids. So I got a call at school saying they want you to come audition, and I was like, whatever. So I just kind of went on a lark and didn't really care at all and got the job.
Interesting.
And I was, what, 17? We did the pilot for all that a week before my 18th birthday, I think. Hmm. Something like that.
Nice. So, so you were 17. All right, nice.
Yeah.
When I was 17, it was a very good year. Sorry, that's the Jersey in me. You have to, at least once in any podcast, I have to reference Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, do a little blue eyes in there.
You also have to reference pork roll or Taylor Ham. It better be pork roll since I'm from the South.
Bologna. Bologna. Taylor Ham is the premier pork roll. All pork roll, here it is. All Taylor Ham is not pork roll. You know what I'm saying?
But all pork roll is Taylor Ham.
Correct. Because
no, it's the opposite way. No, Ham is pork roll.
Yes, all Taylor Ham is pork roll.
Exactly.
Not all pork roll is Taylor Ham.
Okay.
Yes, but what I'm trying to get at is that it's the upper echelon. It's the top. It's the premier pork roll is Taylor Ham. So you call it by name, just like you don't say it's a bandage. You call it a Band-Aid. Because if you buy off-brand Band-Aids, they suck.
Well, not all of us were so privileged to eat the top dollar pork roll like you.
Yeah. Mr. Celebrity here.
We didn't have that pork roll budget.
Don't eat the Case pork roll. Stay away from Case. Trenton pork roll's okay, but John Taylor, it's been around since the damn Revolutionary War. It's a good recipe, and it gets me, it really, you know, gets me going in the morning.
Man.
Anywho, regional. This is regional talk. Sorry, Lori Beth.
It's okay. I just like knowing that a nice pork roll gets you going in the morning.
Lori Beth is somewhere in the desert asking what pork roll is and also what time it is. It's so confusing.
Yeah. I think it's midnight. I'm so tired.
So, both of you, I mean, being in acting at such a young age, both of those Danny with Pete and Pete, and even with all that, there were so many celebrities on there. When you're doing it at such a young age, is it almost like wowing you, or is it, were you just so young you couldn't like really sink in what you were dealing with?
Well, all that, I knew everyone that was on because I was aware of who Britney Spears and NSYNC and Backstreet Boys and Destiny's Child and all those musical guests were. I wasn't really familiar with the old mayor of Los Angeles who was on the show once, but I figured that one out. But on Pete and Pete, like, I didn't know who Iggy Pop was. My dad was like, do you know who's going to be on the show? I was like, no, I don't know who Iggy Pop is. He, like, brought me downstairs in the basement. My dad's an audiophile. He's got, like, a couple thousand records that he's had forever, and he just, like, pulled out a Stooges album, like, put it on. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. Like, this guy's going to be on the show? I like, you know, in sixth or seventh grade, you're like a sponge. So, like, I got all the other Stooges records that my dad had and listened to all of them. By the time Iggy Pop came on the show the following week, I, like, gave him a record. And I was like, can you sign this? Like, I love this record. And he's like, you're 12 years old. What the hell do you know about the Stooges?
He said, crazy. Don't talk to me in between takes.
Oh, no, he was the opposite of that, in fact. That was actually the really cool thing. Mostly every single person on that show who was like a guest star treated me like an adult. I mean, the crew treated me like their little brother. Like, you know, they'd hand me off mixtapes and like get me into different bands. But like the actual, like David Johansen and I ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich together, hung out. Iggy Pop used to sit with me at lunch like every day. And we would just shoot.
True, he blew the speaker out of your guitar.
Yeah. He knew that I was learning how to play bass, and he said he was going to bring his guitar in and teach me a song. And I was like, all right, well, you're going to teach me TVI. And I said, cool, that's cool. And the next day he came in with his guitar and went into our dressing room. Basically, he was in it alone in a dressing room with a 12-year-old for about an hour during lunch. Nothing happened. other than him blowing my amplifier because we had it had like
that's
two
what
inputs.
You call it, huh?
It was smoking.
What about you, Lori? What was your like? Were you ever did you ever have that starstruck thing, or were you kind of just in the zone too?
I would say that on all that we had, especially in the beginning. A lot of musical guests that I wasn't quite the fan of their genre, but so I wasn't like starstruck.
Right.
But I bet if I ran into Coolio today, we would hug, you know, for like Usher when he's a little Usher. You know, little Usher, that's his new animated show.
He was just Ush. He was just Ush back then.
Yeah. Raymond, that's what I would say to him when he was misbehaving. So there were times when I would say they weren't necessarily people that I would be starstruck by, but I could really appreciate. And I'm 18, 19, 20 at this point, so mm-hmm. I could really appreciate, like, wow, it's really cool that we're getting these big stars. Like when the Spice Girls were booked. Sugar Ray. That time John Leguizamo was there, I could barely speak. But like when the Spice Girls were on, it was like, this is a big deal that we got the Spice Girls to be on the show. Like, they were super big, mega, whatever. And right. So that part was really cool. Was like, I'm on this show that's, you know, that's really hitting. That's a hit that people love. That's being successful. And you can kind of tell that it was successful by the bigger and bigger performers and stars that we were able to get.
Yeah. Now, so as all things come to an end, all that comes to an end, Pete, you know, all this almost like an error in Nickelodeon comes to an end. You guys have to move on, and you guys, you've both done a lot of different things over the years, whether it's different sitcoms or movies or voice acting and whatnot. Now, how hard was it to move on and kind of reinvent yourself? And I mean, look at us now. We're talking to you about all that, whatever it is, 20 years later or whatnot. And it's still, you know, like I told friends, we're interviewing you guys tonight, and they're like, oh, man, like I remember, you know, Pete, I remember this. And they're excited about it. How hard is it to kind of shed that and kind of move forward and try to invent? Do you find yourself in like a rut or a hole trying to figure out where to go next? Were you, was it just a challenge, or were you excited to be done with it?
Well, I never really moved on. I'd say every night I would dress up like a loud librarian and dance in front of a mirror like James Gunn in
Gum
and Gum Land. So I don't know if you'd consider that moving on.
I love the image of that.
I know. For me, I think it was a little easier because I was older when I started.
Right.
So it wasn't like, you know, you get some. Yeah, so I'd be very interested in Danny's answer, although I know Danny's you know, family is awesome and always treated him like shit, like he deserved, and really kept him like, really kept him like on the ground and not, you know, because you take a little tiny kid and then you put him in show business and everyone's oohing and aahing over them and doing whatever they need because they're the talent. And then their job ends and they're like, but how come no one treats me that way anymore? So I'd be more interested in Danny's experience. Danny? Oh,
my experience is a little bit different, I guess. You know, I did have good parents. I did go to public school. I was the new kid in fifth grade with a hit TV show on Nickelodeon that my friends watched. And they were just like, doesn't matter, man. You're the new kid. I'm going to fuck with you guys. Just like, oh, man. So I made friends by bringing them on the set. I was like, oh, you guys don't want to be my friends? How about extras? Do you guys want to be extras on the show that you watch?
Nice.
Because we film in New Jersey, about 20 minutes from where we go to school. Oh, yeah. No, I'm just going to give you guys a day off of school. Field trip. Bam. Friends.
Wow.
That's so weird to me. Why were they mean to you?
Because it's I was a new kid.
No, I know. But it's like when Harry Potter comes, he's this like famous, the boy who lived, blah, blah, blah. And then they still give him shit. Like, wouldn't they be like, wow.
Hey, look, just showing how J.K. Rowling was real. All right. That's some real.
I guess so.
He nailed it. But People don't care.
But can we talk for another 45 minutes about Harry Potter, though?
No.
Okay.
No,
well, I ran out of all that question, so I'm down.
That's fine. Basically, I grew up doing everything. I played, you know, soccer and baseball, rec, all that stuff. So my parents were really good about making sure that I was still a kid.
Yeah.
Doing and having this fun thing to do on the side, but like, priority number one was like being a kid, and that definitely transferred to when the show ended and I was like, I can move from LA back to New Jersey. It was my senior year of high school and like all my friends were applying to colleges and I wanted to go to college and I wanted to like have that experience, and I decided that I was going to leave LA and just like come back and finish school and do that. And you know, I became a jaded college student. Like immediately was like, yeah, F the business. I like worked one year. I did a film, you know, I did a couple days on that movie Igby Goes Down. And that was like, I was auditioning and going to college in Western Massachusetts. So like there were days where I'd like have a 6-hour round trip drive in addition to sitting in New York traffic and going on an audition and then coming back. And it really like, you know, kind of screwed up what I was trying to accomplish and being just a normal college student. So I just kind of stopped doing everything and decided I was going to be a kid and be in school. And I did, I got jaded. I was like, yeah, man, I just play music now. Like I'm a musician. I write my own songs. I write my own music. I write my own lyrics. Like I'm always reading somebody else's lines, and taking direction from someone else. Like I'm, you know, like really selling my oats in this, like I'm gone. And then I came back to New York after college and started doing sketch comedy with some friends. And I like rekindled the whole thing. And I was just kind of like, all right, now I'm just going to, you know, I got back into doing auditions and commercials and some TV stuff and, you know, just kind of slipped back into it. But it's weird. It got weird because when I did it as a kid, I felt like it was fun. And then I came back to New York and I'm like, I don't have a job. Like I did have a job, in fact, going, my great-great-grandfather started the oldest Italian wine distribution company in New York City. So I worked for my uncle driving an 18-foot box truck around New York, Manhattan, Queens, Bronx, upstate. Like, I had a real nice blue-collar job for a while.
Yeah.
Just you know, schlepping wine.
I think Pete just gave me wine. I'm not sure.
Oh, no.
Yeah, right.
It was never like that. Definitely. They thought I was like albino Brazilian or something. They were like, I got spit at in like Portuguese and Spanish constantly.
Canelo Alvarez over there.
But I mean, it made me want to do more stuff. But I guess what I was saying is that it made me realize that when I did it as a kid, it was for fun. And as I was trying to do it as an adult, like, it was a job.
Right.
And I wanted to be able to sort of balance that out. And I guess doing, like, the sketch comedy thing and touring with that stuff and now doing the Nostalgia Personified thing in terms of, like, having a show that's kind of, like, our own that I can not be my own boss, but, like, you know, be my own boss, you know, whatever. We're being serious here, you know?
Now, do you feel back then, like, that was, like, the golden age of Nickelodeon, and as it kind of moved forward, I said, they're bringing back all that. I always kind of wondered, like, we had Matt Pinfield on here once, and we kind of talked to him. How do you see MTV now from then? How do you look at Nickelodeon now? Do you still feel it's true to kind of like what we were looking at it growing up?
Well, you know, I'm not gonna burn any bridges here. You know what I'm saying? But it's just a different time. You know, I think that there was so much in that golden era of people taking chances and not necessarily knowing what was going to hit or what the kids would seem to like, but they took more chances, and I think now they kind of have a formula and they know what works and they stick to it, which I think is good because it's good business model. But I think that
it's fiscally responsible.
Yeah, I don't know. Would you say the same thing, LB?
Oh yeah, totally. You totally nailed it, Dan.
No. I want. Well, I feel like I took up too much time. It's your turn to talk. I'm sorry.
No. No, I feel kind of the same way. I feel like it kind of came up, you know, it was that goofy mix of, you know, kid-driven stuff and slime stuff. And then I think when all that started, and there was a show before us called Roundhouse that I always loved. And then it got a little more, put it on a different higher level in talking to kids, and it wasn't like, hey, goofy kids, here's a show.
Right.
But
gotcha.
I think,
so are you afraid the dark people were terrible people? Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, no, those are scary.
I mean, anything that was shot in Canada is suspect.
Don't you tell me what you can't do on television. I'll tell you.
I did end up stealing I Don't Know from them, though, unfortunately.
Yes, you did.
That was a figure it out gag. When if I said I don't know, I would get slimed. And
well, you would scream it. I don't know.
Right? Yeah, it wasn't like oopsies. I said it.
Yeah.
I knew what I was getting myself into.
Then you'd look to the heavens to receive your sliming.
You know what I'm just thinking about Roundhouse right now. There was a sketch. I can't even remember what the context of it was. But they had a mop flipped up, a black mop flipped upside down, and they were like, look, it's Chris Robinson from the Black Crowes, because it's like just a mop and it's skinny. And I thought that was hilarious, and I still don't remember the context of it, but like that was a kid show. Like, that's funny.
That's funny.
To kids. I'm like, I'm not sure the kids even know who Chris Robinson is, but yeah.
So now people obviously hearing this may, you know, it's kind of a retroactive, like, wow, we know Danny, we know Lori, but, and other than doing this tour you guys got coming up, like, Lori, what kinds of things are you doing now that we don't know about? Are you working on films? Are you writing your own stuff? Are you doing sketch? What are you guys up to now?
I've been doing mostly, there was a long period of time when I wasn't pursuing acting.
Mm-hmm.
It would pursue me every once in a while, and I'd, you know, get calls and whatever through my website. And I still get offers from different people saying, you know, we wrote a part for you in this short film or in this web series. And then I get like plenty of super sketchy, like, come to San Antonio and be in our Christmas horror short.
You got my email?
It won't be more than 2 weeks of filming, and we have $500 for you.
You know,
you can stay at my uncle's house. He's got he's got an Airstream in the back that's got no lock on it, but it's cool.
I'm still pissed you didn't get back to me.
But through that, I've gotten to do like you know, if it seems cool or if I like the people, if they have good grammar, that's a big tip off.
Gotcha.
I mean, I've gotten to do like crazy stuff. Like I did a project with these people in Pennsylvania that was a pilot for a sitcom set in colonial times called Goody Goody. And that's different. And I've actually, I did a lot of stuff in between, though. I worked as a copywriter at an ad agency. Like, I had all kinds of irons in the fire just kind of seeing what I liked, you know?
Right.
And then I was like, you know, I really like acting. So, but I've done, right now we're just finishing shooting on a digital series called The Tonopah Five, which is, who's doing dishes?
That's definitely Danny.
Sorry, that was definitely me. Yeah,
sounded like you were playing roller hockey, and then after
Danny
that you were washing
one
dishes.
Podcast without pissing in the sink.
hey, it's how did you know that's my bag? That's my bag. Yeah.
Signature Danny. That's so Danny.
So that's the kind of stuff I've been doing, and I've also actually been working on the reboot of All That.
Oh, nice.
Which has been really fun.
Huh. What about you, Danny? What are you up to that we might not know about?
Well, that digital series that she spoke about, I may or may not have something to do with.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting that.
How do you keep forgetting that?
Because you played my love interest, so I blocked it out of my mind.
It's true. That is true. You know, I still do stuff all the time. I just shot something for The Daily Show recently that'll probably air in the next couple times. I do, I was in Grand Theft Auto 5, and that's still kicking even after all these years.
My boyfriend was so excited when he found that out. We took Danny to Korean barbecue, and what did you say? You were telling different stuff you've done, and you said, I was what? What's your character's name?
Jimmy DeSanto.
He goes, you were just like, yeah, I was Jim Grand Theft Auto 5. My boyfriend was like, you so are.
Yeah, it wasn't Jonah Hill, guys. It wasn't Jonah Hill. I was like,
I know.
Yeah.
Jonah Hill is, he would cost more money than I would.
Yes.
So. But yeah, I mean, I still do, you know, stuff here and there. I do a lot of writing and
nice.
Sketch comedy and the band, my band Jounce tours. You know, 40-50 shows a year, and we just went into the studio to record a new record. So it's like our sixth album over, you know, I don't know, 17 years. So
it's great.
And I'm their groupie, which takes up a lot of time and physical energy.
I mean, the physical energy entirely accurate.
Exactly.
But right now, I'm just working on being a dad. My son just turned 4 months today.
Oh, congrats, man.
Yay.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
that's been the biggest change in my life.
What's it like raising a son in Brooklyn?
It's great. I mean, I live, you know, 10 minutes from the Botanic Gardens, and I live by the Prospect Park, and I can walk everywhere. And
nice.
He enjoys seeing all the things and hearing all the hears. He's a good sleeper because, you know, sirens and loud stuff all day long outside. He still sleeps through it, so I think that's going to be a good thing.
That's awesome,
but,
man.
You know, we do get the looks, you know. There's the same, that same, at the very beginning, like, you know, when he wasn't really sleeping so good at night, or you had to get out, you've been inside all day long.
Yeah.
And like, you walk outside and you're walking down the street and you see like, oh, there's a couple with a tiny baby. There's a couple. And it's like just, you know, it's about to be like 8:30 and like, it's getting really dark. And you're like, oh, should we be walking around out here with the kid? And then we just see other parents like, we had to get out of the house. Oh no, those guys had to get out of the house too. We shake each other's hands, give a high five, a nod. You know, the best though was when my wife was pregnant, because every time I saw a pregnant woman, I wanted them to bump bellies. She would never do it. But I kept.
How'd that work out for you?
It's the same thing. If you're walking down the street and you see a guy with a Mets hat on, you like point to the Mets hat. And, you know, if you're a Mets fan,
and you bump bellies with them.
You do the nod. It's like the nod, or like the all right, man, like blah blah blah. But when you walk by, when pregnant women walk by, they don't even look at each other because I think it's very like this is my time. This is my time. And that woman over there, she looks more pregnant than me, and she's not going to steal my thunder.
What if it turns into a weird Freaky Friday thing and the baby switched tummy?
Oh, yeah.
I wonder why my kid doesn't look like me. Maybe that's the
right.
See, Danny's what I'm imagining, when Danny goes to concerts, he just has mosh pits with pregnant women in it. That's what I figure he would do.
He does have a lot of videos like that on his computer.
That's what I heard. Yeah. That's what I heard.
But it's an encrypted computer. No one will ever see it but me.
But I'll tell them.
Only Iggy Pop had the password.
Right. And it's Lust for Life, 67.
I mean, guys, we really appreciate talking to you and talk about your careers, but I got to ask, I mean, being the nostalgia piece of it, has there ever been, a character or a question that when you guys are, walking in the streets and somebody yells at any point where you're like, all right, enough with that or enough with that question? We've talked about 8,000 times already.
Oh, Danny and I have the same answer.
Yeah,
Dan, you want to take it?
No, you take it and I'll do a Pete and Pete one.
Okay, yeah. Well, Danny and I are a unique set of people who have both given the world vital information. Actually, now there's three of us.
Four, because when they did the original reboot in 2001 or whenever, when they went younger, someone was doing vital information too. Again,
oh, really?
I think he got overlooked too. It's unfortunate.
He's a little lost to history. I don't even know who that is. He's probably dead now.
Oh, gosh.
But Reese is the new little chicky that does it on the new one. But so we are constantly asked, hey, will you give us some vital information? People will come up to me and go like, you're Lori Beth Denberg with vital information for my everyday life. Like, you could tell they've been planning how to do it for 90 seconds. And it's like, you're not winning me over. Or on Facebook, because I'm friends with a lot of fans on Facebook. I have a Facebook fan page too, but if someone wants to friend me, I'm like, okay, I can always block you if you're a creepo. But I don't think there's anything I can write that somebody would I could say, dad's funeral was hard, but I'm getting through, thanks to all my family. And somebody would comment, that's some vital information for your everyday life.
Oh, my God.
So it's like, all right, guys. Then when Danny and I are together and we get that question, doing press, we protect each other. We, change the subject or he'll fall on the floor or whatever it is.
Yeah. Sometimes we give vital information, but it's just old. It's like, yeah, renter's insurance is a good idea if you rent an apartment.
Or, if you're going to rent an apartment, get the renter's insurance. You'll be glad you did.
Right. Go see a dentist twice a year for a cleaning. It'll prevent other, real information.
While walking in Brooklyn, watch out for creeps looking at your pregnant stomach.
Oh, yeah, right.
Looking to bump
Very
it.
True. And if people ask me if the tattoo is real one more time, I probably will. I probably will kill myself.
Right.
Scratch off that question.
If you stand there for 90 seconds and you want to say, hey, you do vital information for your everyday life, or you give me some. I mean, I get it. But it's just I was 7 years old and you think my tattoo was real? What the hell is the matter with you people?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, people are
Then they show him their tattoo.
Well, that's the best part. I do. I probably have over 100 pictures over the years of people who have come to down shows or, anything that I'm doing or they'll be like, hey, man. Bam! I loved you. I love P&P. It meant this much to me, and they'd show me their real, actual
crazy
petunia tattoo. And that's, I mean, that's the highest form of flattery, right?
Yeah.
That's permanent. That's a permanent thing.
Right. That is pretty nuts, man. Guys, I want to thank you both so much for coming on. It's really cool. Not only just get to talk to one of you, but the two of you and hear you hear their chemistry. And, you know, it kind of makes me, you know, excited to see what the show is about. Now, Nostalgia Personified, I believe you guys, it starts, your tour starts on the 12th.
It starts on the 12th of November and goes to the 23rd.
Yeah,
and ends on the 13th when we have a huge blowout fight in front of the first audience.
Yeah, you're going to be.
You didn't say that was on the table. You didn't say that was on the table, Dan. You can't talk about that.
Yeah, I might want to try to come on.
The best thing is that Lori Beth really doesn't know what the hell she's going to do.
Oh, it's perfect.
I know. It's my first time.
There you go. Are you guys going to be Defiant Brewing? That's not far from me. I might try to take a ride down there on the 22nd.
Where's that? To Defiant?
Yeah, it's not far from me. Yeah, it's cool.
That place is great. It's an old school
good barbecue
place. Good barbecue, yeah.
Yeah,
Lori, we're going to have some good eating on this trip.
Okay, I'm excited because we're going to go like in a van, I'm going to go in a van with Stinky Boys, like a rock and roll road trip.
That's
I'm really looking forward to that.
It will be, but unfortunately, the van turns into a soccer mom minivan these days.
That's all right. So a van's not, a van.
A van is a van. Hey, you know what? Nobody breaks into it. We don't get pulled over for speeding because they're like, oh, I don't want to deal with the soccer mom.
Right.
But, and don't order Taylor ham or else you're going to get a lecture.
No, I know. You know what? It's such a silly thing. The Taylor ham pork roll thing. My wife is from northeastern Pennsylvania, and she and her dad call it pork roll, and I've had to try to explain it, and I'm tired of it, you know.
Don't worry.
Whatever it is. Look, I ain't gonna yuck somebody's yum these days, you know what I mean?
I hear.
Guys, thanks so much for giving us a little bit of time.
I'm sorry.
Are you pissing in the sink again?
No, it's not pissing in the sink. I'm just cleaning. I'm cleaning Italian long hots. That's what I'm doing right now.
Hold on, right before we're done with. Before we're done with this segment, I need to mow my lawn.
Hey, man, it's been really great having you.
I know. I just gotta take this whiz real quick in the sink. Thanks, guys. But Lori, Danny, thank you so much, guys. We really appreciate the time. We had a lot of fun today. Definitely one of my favorites of the year. So good luck with your tour. Good luck with whatever projects you guys got going on. And we really appreciate talking to you, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Me too.
All right, Lori and Danny, Mike.
No chemistry between the two. I don't know how they work together.
Yeah, how are they going to go on tour when they can barely speak? They're so shy. They're so, you know.
I could tell deep down they're both like, I can't believe you're on the same interview with me. Oh, don't you dare bring up that show. Don't you dare bring up that show.
Yeah. We have a specific protocol. We do not answer questions about all that. Anything else you guys got?
I'd like to talk about my bird watching expeditions. That's all I need to discuss for now.
But the one and only Danny Tamborelli and Lori Beth Denberg. All right, Berlew. So the other week we were talking about, like, I'm getting a new car this weekend, and you just got a new car. We were kind of talking about how, you know, sleazy dealers can be, and people, anytime you got to sell something for a living, that's why I never really got into sales. Hmm. Like, sales was never my thing. You gotta be careful. You know, you gotta be careful. There's always someone trying to take advantage of you. You know?
Yeah, exactly. You can always tell, and all as nice as they try to be, you deep down, you say in the back of your head, they are just trying to rev up that price every time they chat
right.
with you.
I mean, and they have a job to do, too. They got to get the most, you know, they got to figure out a way to close the deal. But so we're going to play a little, not a game here. I'm going to give you three. We're going to play a little game called Buyers Beware.
All right.
I'm going to give you three stories here. And we're just going to talk about who got the rawest deal. Okay, who conned someone the worst? All right, so I got three stories here. And I think you'll enjoy some of them. Okay.
So okay.
First one. Okay. So buyer beware, Mike. A man faked being deaf and dumb for 62 years to avoid listening to his wife.
Okay.
A man from Waterbury in Connecticut faces divorce after his wife found out that he is actually not deaf and has been faking it for more than 62 years. According to his divorce papers, 84-year-old Barry Dawson never spoke a single word in front of his 80-year-old wife, Dorothy, during the decades they lived together. Ms. Dawson learned the sign language to be able to communicate with her husband, but says he was still not really communicative. The couple still raised 6 children and has 13 grandchildren, all of whom were convinced that Mr. Dawson was deaf. Mr. Dawson's lawyer, Robert Sanchez, claims the elderly man's strategy was not meant to offend or cheat on his spouse, and that it may, in fact, explain why their marriage worked 60 years. My client is pretty quiet and not very talkative, but his wife is annoyingly chatty. If he hadn't faked being deaf, they would have divorced 60 years ago. In a way, he did it for her and his family. Both parties should appear in court for the first time tomorrow as Dorothy Dawson is demanding financial compensation for her emotional stress and burden, as well as half of their belongings and alimony.
Well, I mean, let's start off with, why are you really going for money when you're like 80 years old?
That's what I'm saying. Unless you're thinking to pass it on to your kids or something.
Yeah, but I mean, still in that scenario, as long as the one of them doesn't get married, it's going to the kids. I mean,
true.
I mean, obviously he would have to compensate her if they're leaving. But at the same time, it's kind of like, you really need to bring in the big guns for this one. Or
I think after 60 years and you just got to be like, I got. He got me. He got me good. Like, you got to admit defeat. Like, he pulled the trick on you for 6 decades.
I gotta ask, like, how many times did they start to wonder something? Because I can't think he had a perfect game going for 60-some-odd years. Because it's not even the wife. He tricked the children and the grandchildren into this.
He definitely had a couple. He didn't have perfect control of his pitches all the way through those 60 years.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta pretend you don't hear anything, so any loud noises, you got to stay perfectly still. Guess if anything he talks, he would have to, like, change his voice to act like he can't hear, so he never really knew how to talk regularly. He had to learn sign language, or it'd be amazing if he faked it all them years and, like, no, that's sign language, and he's just flaring his arms around and all. I think he wants a cookie.
Yeah, I would like to know how the unraveling happened, like how they started to figure out, like, would they try to scare him, like when he walked in a room, and see if he was like, oh, you know, like, did he bang pots behind his head and see if he would jump? Like, I want to know how they figured him out.
Maybe after 60 years, he finally said, shut up! You talk too much! I can't take it anymore! I said after 59 years, I wouldn't take it, and I still held on!
All right, so poor Doris, right? That was her name, Doris. She, you know, buyer beware. She signed into a contract that, no, Dorothy, you know, she really got the raw end of that deal. So was not what was advertised, right? Okay. This one's good. All right. Arizona man learns his mom's body was sold to the military and detonated in an experiment.
Just end the show on that, Scott. Yeah, yeah. We don't need to talk anymore. There's nothing that's going to come out of our mouth that's going to top that.
An Arizona man was distraught to learn that his mother's body was sold to the United States military for blast testing, which involved strapping it to a chair before an explosive device was detonated underneath, an investigation revealed. It's been more than 5 years since Jim Stauffer's mother died in hospice care. 73-year-old Doris Stauffer suffered from Alzheimer's disease during the last years of her life, but doctors say she didn't have the gene for it. Doctors worried the disease may have mutated and hoped to study her brain after passing to find out more. When the time came, though, her neurologist couldn't accept the body. Her son hoped reaching out to other donation facilities could lead to the same result, but that was not the case. The Stauffers are one of the dozen families who still do not know what happened to bodies of loved ones they donated to the Biological Resource Center in Maricopa County, Arizona. Jim Stauffer said he trusted BRC to get her brain to neurologists who would learn more about the disease. But according to the investigation, Doris's body was sold to the U.S. military. She was then supposedly strapped in a chair on some sort of apparatus, and a detonation took place underneath her to basically kind of get an idea of what the human body goes through when a vehicle is hit by an IED, Jim said. Years later, the inside of Doris's home remains unchanged. Memories of her and her things and loved ones are still on display, including a small box filled with only 6 ounces of her ashes her son got back. Every time there's a memory, every time there's a photograph you look at, there's this ugly thing that happened just right there staring right at you. She will never be forgotten.
All right, this is a lot of fun talking. Let's start with number one. You realize there was some scientists who, in the military, that had to tell people, no, 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 I need a human body to figure out this bomb. You don't understand this. Can't we just, like, get a pick? No! I told you, science and bodies, and put it under the chair like a whoopee cushion, an explosion. I'm a scientist.
Now, what? I mean, I guess if you're donating your body to science, right? Maybe that's the risk you take. Maybe that's the you get blown up. You get sent into space to be or sent into the air to be exploded. I mean, I guess technically that is part of donating to science. I understand him being upset that maybe that they were ready trying to study the brain, not blow her up in a. In a chair.
Yeah, when they signed off on that paperwork, they didn't sit back and figure they had to find some fine print about, you know, exploding chairs.
Moms, exploding moms.
Yeah. Do you get the feeling maybe it wasn't even the government? Like, one night he's flipping through his cable box and he puts on Mythbusters and he's like, that looks like mom on there.
We're going to fill this pig full of ballistics gel, and then we're going to blow up this old lady and see which one takes the most impact. Science is crazy.
Jamie, I told you, myth busted.
Turns out grandmas do blow up.
I told you what I saw in 007 wouldn't work.
So that Mike was poor Mr. I can't find his name. Yeah, poor Mrs. Jim Stauffer's mother. Poor Miss Doris Stauffer. He did not get what he was sold, right? Buyer, beware. All right, one more. This is one's good too. All right, Indiana couple claims adopted daughter from Ukraine was really an adult with dwarfism, tried to kill the family.
I got my movie idea.
So this just happened, bro. This just happened as of Friday. This was a news story. Indianapolis, Indiana. An Indiana couple says the little girl Natalia they adopted from Ukraine is actually an adult with dwarfism and tried to hurt and kill them on multiple occasions. We were told by doctors that this person is a sociopath. This person is a con artist. You are all in danger. Michael and his now wife, ex-wife, Christine Barnett, thought they were adopting an adorable six-year-old girl from Ukraine back in 2010. The couple is accused of neglecting their adopted daughter, Natalia, after court documents claim that they rented an apartment for the girl in 2013 and left her alone while they moved out of the country with the rest of the family. The Barnetts tell whatever the paper, Natalia is not who she says she is. They claim she's an adult and that she was attempting to cause them harm. Natalia would do things like place clear thumbtacks on the stairs face up so that when we would walk up the stairs, we'd be stepping on thumbtacks in pain to injure ourselves. Michael said his wife discovered evidence of monthly menstrual cycle and that Natalia, when confronted, said she did have one and had been hiding it from them. Shortly after, Natalia attempted to poison Christine by pouring a bottle of Pine Sol into her coffee mug. She had attempted to kill my wife for the second time, this time by trying to pull her into an electric fence, Michael said. The couple tries to press charges against her, but instead she was pushed into the hospital system. Natalia suffers from a rare form of dwarfism, and Michael said they quickly noticed some suspicious behavior, including developmental changes consistent with adults. He claimed that doctors, testing, and even court ruling led them to believe she was actually born in 1989. In 2012, based on evidence presented to the court, the Marion County Superior Court ruled that her birth year would be changed from 2003 to 1989, effectively changing her from 8 to 22 years old, Berlow.
All right, let's see. Well, number one, we know a comedian who did that, but I digress on that. Let's see. There actually was a horror movie like that. Now I realize it was called Orphan, and it was kind of the same premise where the twist ending was, spoiler, it was an adult.
Ah.
I'm trying to fit, like, when was, like, the, like, were they giving her timeouts, and then it's like, all right, that's it, I really think she's trying to kill us moment. It's, all right, now, honey, now I told you before, just because it smells lemony, the Pine Sol, doesn't mean it's made of lemons.
I also think her attempts to kill them were a little hacky, right? A little Home Alone-ish, like, oh, thumbtacks on the stairs, like, oh, poisoning the coffee. Like, you got to be more original to really pull it off, I think.
I'm thinking Stewie Griffin from Family Guy when I'm hearing this kid.
I mean, I just find it funny that, like, who's on the other end of this, right? Who actually shipped this kid and was like, well, you know, like, here we go. You know, like, we're going to win this one over.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I was in Bulgaria, I never heard about this Western European thing. Oh, no. Get the girl. She's 25, but they don't know. They think she's 8.
It's always a good podcast when the Berlow Russian accent. Oh, that was Bulgarian. Sorry, the Russian accent comes out.
Same kind of area, so kind of.
All right, so that was the poor family, the Barnett family. Buyers beware, Mike. They did not get what they were sold. So, who do you think got the rawest deal? Was it the Do you think it was the wife whose husband sold her for 60 years that he was deaf? Mm-hmm. Do you think it was the Arizona man who donated his mom's brain to science and found out she was exploded in a chair? Or was it the family that adopted someone from Ukraine and turned out to be a dwarf that tried to kill them?
Well, I'm going to speak out. I'm going to say the answer is number 3.
Okay.
The dwarf. The kid.
Okay.
And my thought process is the following. With the first one, with the husband pretending he's deaf, okay, he was an a-hole for doing this, but at the same time, they had 60 years of love before this unfortunate ending. For the mother sold to science, I mean, yeah, that's pretty harsh when you're thinking her death is going to help lead to resolving this horrible thing called dementia.
Yeah.
But I guess down after the shock is all said and done, down the road is the coolest family story ever. To say your grandma was exploded by the military.
Grandma got exploded. Grandma got exploded.
But with the third one, they paid for a little child that they figured they were going to have as part of their family for years and years and years. And turns out it just tried to murder them completely.
Okay. So it turns out the dwarf is the worst buy Mike Berlew has as stated.
Yeah.
You got ripped off the most. And I hope they make it through the next couple of years without being killed.
You got ripped off.
So that is Buyer Beware, Mike. Buyer Beware. a new bit here on Verbal Shenanigans, or the only time if I could ever find three stories that ridiculous again.
You know what, Scott? If you can't find our story, just retell all three of them. They were beautiful.
I was going to say, that's setting the bar pretty high. I don't know if I could find three that insane, but yeah.
Mm.
What do you got, brother, before we get the hell out of here?
Well, I mean, somewhat in the buyer beware or be careful what you do in life. This story comes from down here in Georgia. So as I promoted here before, you know, my wife and I go to a local gym called Team Octopus over in Villarica, and we do kickboxing classes and strength conditioning there. And one of the instructors there is an MMA fighter. He's got a fight coming up in a few weeks, actually. I forget the day. I might promote it on the podcast one of these weeks, but we'll get that out. But our instructor's name is Devontae. Really nice guy, 23 years old. We saw him fight about 2 or 3 months back. He had a hard-fought battle. He got choked out, but he's very confident. He's got great technique, and he was one of those. They basically the guy he fought, they said, you know, this guy is like really like top of the line, could go up to the next level, and nobody in that league wanted to fight him, and he's the one who volunteered. He's like, all right, I want to test my skills, you know, with him. And he went into that battle, got smacked around, and he all came out better off, and he's gonna hopefully get his next fight. But
so you're saying this guy could beat you up?
Devontae, yes. Yeah. And the guy who beat up Devontae. Both of them can beat me up.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha.
But so he came home one day and he noticed that his door was busted down.
Okay.
And he went inside, looked around. I mean, the major stuff was still in there, like TVs and stuff, but there was like a few items missing from the apartment.
Right.
So noticing that nothing huge was missing, he said, you know what? I bet that guy is just walking around right now.
Okay.
So he took off from the apartment. And I think his brother was there. I forget if he lives with somebody. But anyway, he looks around. He's in Douglasville. And he knows the guy has a bag that looks similar to what he had at his house.
Okay.
So he called up his roomie or his brother. And he's like, you know, verify this bag. I think it had a PlayStation in there that they had. He's like, verify if it's in the house. And the guy said, nope. Whoever came in took it.
Okay.
So he figures, all right. They're in a parking lot. So he calls to the guy, hey, buddy, can you come over here and help me? I got problems with my truck. And the guy, not thinking a thing, goes, oh, okay. Walks over, and he just took him down, for what I understand. I mean, he was nice enough where he didn't beat the living bejesus out of him. But I guess it gave such a scare. The guy was literally pleading on the ground, please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. And Devontae just like, give me my bag and we're all good.
Wow.
And the moral of the story is, if you're going to steal something from somebody, you may want to verify who's living in that house.
Yeah, or hide it for a little while before you're strolling around the neighborhood with it.
Yeah. Or at the very least, if you're in the neighborhood where you know there's crime, hence you're there, don't go over to the guy and say, hey, can you help me, stranger, for a couple minutes with my truck?
That's a pretty wild story. It's funny that he found him, like, in town.
Yeah. Well, like I said, when he saw that no TVs were missing or anything like that, he knew, okay, the guy wasn't probably like getting a big truck and loading it up and driving away. He figured he was still on foot. So.
That's some Matlock stuff right there. I wouldn't think that. I'd be like, well, my bag's gone. Like I would just, my brain wouldn't think like, all right, I'm going to go into vigilante mode and figure this out.
So basically, to all the robbers who listen to Verbal Shenanigans, Scott won't do anything.
No,
so if you're in the Denville area, then just take whatever you want. Maybe even if he walks in, he'll just be like, well, nothing I can do. You got my stuff.
Pretty accurate, not gonna lie. But
no, my honey, he's got the bag. What can I do?
Time to get a new bag. I'm going on Amazon now.
Oh man, we can't do the podcast. He got my podcast done.
I don't know why I developed into like a Sling Blade type character. But
you know, the ankle injury went up to my brain, so that's what happened. I'm Scott.
I tore meniscus in my brain. But,
I tore meniscus, then it tore my brain.
But, Berlu, let's get a great episode tonight. Let's get the hell out of here. Let's end on a high note.
That sounds good.
Got anything to promote before we go?
Well, since we're still in October, we'll do one more time my page, Michael Berlu Random Stuff on Facebook, Pumpkin Spice, whatever. We're halfway through. We got a lot of interesting people listening in. We've done some interesting foods. We've done pumpkin spice grilled cheese donuts. We've done pumpkin spice chili. We've run the gambit with stuff. And we got some, obviously, pumpkin spice spam has been a weekly try with all our stuff. A lot of people have been enjoying it. So maybe you might enjoy it. So we generally do it at in the evening time, about 7 or 8 live, or you could just go on to my page and watch the replay. It's Michael Berlu Random Stuff on Facebook or facebook.com/TheBurls721.
All right, and I'm just going to promote our new location where you could find our show and also support local radio and guys trying to get stuff out there. We are on denvilleradio.com, and if you go check us out under the podcast section, we're there with funny story. We're there with a Red Bulls podcast, and a kid who does that I went to high school with. So it's kind of a a small world. And then we were also there with the Devils podcast, So you could catch those three podcasts on denvilleradio.com/podcast. Check us out. Support someone trying to do something different. You could also catch us in comingrightup.org. You can catch us on the whole bunch
DCN of Community Podcast Network.
Right.
And to the Red Bulls podcast, go Union this weekend.
Ah, yes. So that's it, guys. You can catch us on all other podcast platforms, whatever you choose to listen to your podcast. We are everywhere. The best thing you can do for us is really share the podcast with people. Second best thing you can do is give us a rating on iTunes. Third best thing you can do is follow us on social media. Instagram, Facebook, both of those are great. Twitter is great, too. Mm-hmm. Do all three. Do the trifecta if you got it out there. But that's it, guys. I want to thank Danny, and I want to thank Lori Beth. Just a fantastic episode tonight. And that's about it, guys. Life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. Bye. Bye.
See's ya.
Sure.
Okay, you want to do it in unison?
Sure.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Well, ready?
One, two, three.
Hi. I'm Danny Tamborelli.
This is Danny Tamborelli and Lori. You're supposed to do the whole thing. All right, take two.
Ready? One, two, three.
Hi. This is Danny Tamborelli and Lori Beth Denberg
with Verbal Shenanigans.
Danny, you were very bad at that, but I don't have time to do it again.
I love it.
I would think that mine was pretty good. If you were doing like a cadence or something, like you were very behind.
Maybe you're washing dishes, it'd be all right.
Well, now that I realize it, I wonder if there's a delay, because I was trying to do it just the same as you.
There might be. I blame Skype and not you, because I've never blamed you for anything.